Well, some things are built for success, and we know James Harden is built for the NBA now. Threes and foul shots are the order of the day when it comes to him. But, Jeff, when you look at other players around the league, is there anyone that you point to besides maybe Kevin Durant? And for me, I think maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo in the future is as someone who could impose their will as much in this league if their teams would allow them to?
I think those are a couple good calls right there. Even if we want to go a little bit further, and someone from your neck of the woods, down the road, RJ Barrett as well. People, the scouts I talk to, they use the phrase James Harden-esque. Obviously, RJ's got a little ways to go before he becomes that kind of offensive force, but his ability to do things, his size, he could be that kind of player. But I think the key phrase you said, if their teams allow him to do that, there aren't many teams in today's NBA that love isolation basketball the way the Rockets and James Harden love isolation basketball, but it also works for them. So I necessarily don't blame them for doing what works well. You can't stop the guy. He gets to the free throw line. He masters the three-point shot and getting fouled on threes, and he barrels into the lane, and it works for them.
The takeaway from your story, besides that James Harden is good, because he is, was 463 buckets this season and only 53 assisted. Like, I don't even, that number doesn't even register in my head.
I think the secondary one was of his last five games, 263 points somewhere. Not one bucket assisted. And it seems impossible that you could score that many points and by chance one of your teammates just didn't happen to find you for an assist. It is really a studied number. The sort of peeling back the layers on it, the idea that this isn't always palatable basketball. If you look at the way the Golden State Warriors play, if you look at the way some other teams, even Toronto, they want to move the ball. You want to keep it going. You want to get the defense scrambling so the spacing works. You have open threes and drives to the lane, that kind of thing. That they do not pass the ball like that. And it's sort of the antithesis of what today's NBA offense is. And it's frustrating for some people, including other coaches, general managers, players, to sit there and just watch James dribble the ball at the top of the key, for 15 seconds until he finds a way to beat his man.
Well, it's interesting, too, though, that a lot of people are talking about the fact that his team is not assisting on his buckets. But that's also because he's one of the main facilitators on this team, especially with Chris Paul out. Of course, people aren't giving him the ball. The ball's in his hands. He's either taking a shot, driving, and if the drive's not there, kicking it to his teammates to hopefully knock down a three. He's averaging over 8 assists a game. So, yeah, I don't understand why people are that surprised when he's essentially the point guard.
Well, and you said it, or one of you said it, is, well, let's not forget, the guy is an elite basketball player. I mean, his skills, whether it's scoring, dribbling, passing, he is a really, really good passer. He's a complete basketball player. And he's doing what Houston needs to do to get some victories right now. And as you mentioned, without Chris Paul in the lineup, I take it some of these numbers will come down a little bit when Chris Paul returns to the lineup. Even Clint Capella gets back in the lineup as well. But while it's happening, it's certainly stunning to watch. And, for people who aren't necessarily aware of his game or just going to tune in to tonight's game, they're going to watch a basketball player who's in full command of his game, whether or not you always like the style or not.
So they will just kind of roll out the red carpet for him for the MVP this year, eh? Is anyone even close?
Yeah, I mean, I was, like, for the first half of the year, or maybe through December, I was sort of thinking, all right, Giannis Antetokounmpo is carrying the Bucks, lifting them from what they were, seventh seed last year, and now he's going to have them. He's either a one or a two seed, and his all-around game, his rebounding. He's not a great three-point shooter yet, but, he was averaging near 30 a game. But I have a hard time given what – I mean, James Harden is averaging 45 points a game this month. I mean, that's unheard of as well. All these stats, when you start adding them up, they're unheard of. you know, when you start talking about guys like Wilt, Kobe, Michael, you know, those are the guys he's scoring like right now. And so I have a hard time if he even, you know, keeps up, you know, what, 80% of this, which it seems he will do, and average 33 plus a game, whatever it is, and the Rockets, you know, are a top four seed. I think people have a hard time not voting for him for MVP again.
Speaking with Jeff Zilgit, national basketball writer of USA Today, Fly Fisher extraordinaire here on the Jeff Blair Show with Sherry Ford and Ashley Docking. Now, one of the things that the Toronto Raptors have over not only Houston, but a number of teams in this league is the perceived depth that they have on the bench. And I know that this is a team that's been riddled with injuries, some uneven performances from what used to be dubbed the bench mob, but it's not exactly the same now that Pascal Siakam has made his way into the starting lineup. But it's a team that people are looking to potentially add at the trade deadline, and you want some depth. You're not necessarily going to trade for a game changer. I don't know if Bradley Beal's on the table for Toronto, but when you look at some of the players that are available and some of the names that stand out could be Trevor Ariza, Jeff Green, Noah Vonley, unrestricted free agents after this season, you want someone, at least in my estimation, that not only can knock down three-point shots at a decent rate, but maybe add something else as well, whether it's in the way of rebounding or can get a few assists.
And so you mentioned a name out there, Jeff Green. It'll be interesting to see which direction the Wizards end up ultimately going with the trade deadline get here, because, I don't think that Otto Porter's another name that gets mentioned. I don't think the Raptors would be involved in that because of what they would have to give up. I don't think they want to drastically alter it. As you said, their lineup, their rotation, the chemistry, all those things that play into it. But the other guy, the Jeff Green, is an interesting name because in a, you know, much more refined or limited role, Jeff Green can be really, really good for you. He did it at times with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've seen it with Boston. He is not a number one, two, or three, or four even for you. But if he's a number six, seven, or eight for you, Jeff Green can be really, really good. He rebounds. He's physical. He can score some points at times, and there's one, you know, the Raptors could probably look at, and knowing that they don't have to give up a lot to get a Jeff Green type. But also, if you look at, you know, maybe the model for this year's Raptors, and these are names that are going to be available to them. But remember last year, Philadelphia, the buyout market usually doesn't yield a ton of players who can contribute in the playoffs, but they got Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova in the buyout market last year. Those are the kind of guys that can help a team like Toronto, knowing that, you know, they're not going to play 30 minutes a game, but they can come in and they're 12 to, you know, 18 minutes a game and do some damage against another team's second unit.
Well, and I think that Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster in tandem are pragmatic enough to know that if they're going to be picking up a player that's not in the buyout market that they're going to need to trade for, who's a UFA next season, that they can't be giving away too much and knowing that you're not going to have your lineup bolstered should Kawhi Leonard not stick around, right? There's so many different elements, and there's a big argument to be made, at least from where I'm sitting, to kind of stand pat, see what you have, hope that your players live up to their ceilings, and then make your next move from that point forward when the playoffs are done.
And I have no problem with that. Making a move for making a move's sake, you know, is it good? You mentioned the pragmatic approach of Masai and Bobby. That seems to make sense. You know, you look at another team that does things very pragmatically, the San Antonio Spurs. They've been playing very good basketball after a slow start. I don't anticipate them making tons of changes. I guess, what do we like to say, you know, around the edges is where you could make some additions. And look, you don't want to give up first round picks. Is there a future second round pick that you don't mind giving up, knowing you can accumulate a second round pick down the road somehow? You know, those aren't the kinds of things that would be a major issue to give up in a trade.
What's interesting today, in one article, they suggested maybe Vince Carter. And, you know, for so many years we've heard that, and I, you know, it's been kind of off the radar this year, but is that ever a possibility?
No.
Look, I will never rule anything out, but, you know, I think they would probably take the same. When it was a big deal or a little bit of a deal last year, the approach was that they didn't feel it was the right time to bring Vince back. I'm not sure it is. I know he's helping the young kids there in Atlanta. You know, I just don't know what role they would have for him, and whether, you know, Vince wants that kind of role with this Raptors team at this point. It's something that I think will always be a topic for Toronto and the Raptors until Vince retires. But, I necessarily don't know what he adds to the team right now, especially when you're going to compare it to maybe some other players who can contribute a little bit more.
Especially you want someone, at least the makeup of this team, one of the biggest benefits that the Toronto Raptors have is that they have so many players that they can put on anyone on the defensive end. They don't really have to worry about switching in a lot of instances, especially when they go smaller, if they have a lineup with Pascal Siakam at the five. And I don't know if Vince Carter is conducive to that. And you don't really want to shoot your shot and bring someone over who's going to just be a one-trick pony.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And look, I think for all the conversations that we're having, you know, Nick Nurse has done a fantastic job in his first season with his team. He certainly has a plan and a vision of how he wants them to play. And that's why I don't think major disruptions for a team. Look, I said at the beginning of the year that this Raptors team, now that LeBron is out of the East, has a really, really good chance to make the finals. And I don't think you want to do anything that, you know, hurts those chances. And I'm not saying Vince would hurt those chances, but I think you might just be able to have a better option at this point.
Mm-hmm. Were there any surprises for you on the announcement of the All-Star Game starters?
There were not. I mean, if I really wanted to quibble about Anthony, like, this is a quibble. Anthony Davis instead of Paul George, but Paul George had a really, really good year for a team that plays good defense, and he's putting up some, you know, fantastic scoring and steal numbers, and he anchors, you know, that defense, is a great perimeter defender. I guess if you wanted to nick LeBron James a little bit for games played, but at this point, you know, he's just played, I think, three fewer games than Steph Curry. Just a couple games. Did the Raptors play last night? I don't recall. I don't think they did.
No.
He's just a couple games less than Kawhi Leonard, who made the All-Star team. So I just think you're nitpicking at that point. Maybe at the guard spot, could you have gone with in the East a Bradley Beal or a Ben Simmons over Kemba Walker? But geez, the games in Charlotte, Kemba's carrying that team as a one-man show just about in Charlotte. And so I just didn't have a big issue. Now, I do think when the reserves are announced and the coaches pick the reserves, then we're going to get some debate, because there are going to be some guys who are left off the All-Star team who are probably deserving. And that always brings me to this question. At that point, when you think someone should be on it, who are you going to remove from the team? And so I think we'll have some fun with that debate next week when the coaches get their say.
I must say, I'm so happy for Kemba Walker, though. I just feel as though he's a player who's just been through so much, and then to be named a starter for the first time, you could see his reaction. They showed it on, I believe it was the TNT broadcast, and just the way that he's been able to evolve his game, and you're right, carry this team on his shoulders, very well deserving.
And I was just in Charlotte last week to do some pre-All-Star coverage, and I sat down with Kemba, and I could tell it meant a lot to him. He has established some roots in Charlotte. Doesn't mean he's going to stay there or anything like that, but he has land to build a house. And, you know, even if he does play for another team, Charlotte's going to be a place where he stays from time to time. It may even be permanently at some point. And so I was happy for him as well. I don't know. I'm a little sentimental when it comes to get the guy a start in his hometown arena. So I had no problem with the way voters, the fans, the media, and the players all came together to pick this team.
Now, Kyle Lowry is a four-time All-Star. Will he be a fifth All-Star? And will Pascal Siakam make it?
So you're going to make a push for it. And the thing that's going to be difficult is to get three guys on a team. And so, I think the coaches – well, they lead more toward a veteran kind of player. I think Siakam is deserving of it, given his contributions. It's almost like a Draymond Green type All-Star selection. His stats across the board aren't going to wow you, but if you dig in a little deeper to his advanced stats, what he does when he's on the court, how the Raptors perform when he's on the court, I think he's deserving. But I do think you have to think how coaches think. And they generally lead towards a veteran. So it will be interesting to see. Now, there are different spots. You have a front court and a back court spot. So maybe both get on. I know the Bucks are going to make a huge push to get Chris Middleton into the All-Star game. They feel that they deserve a couple All-Stars given their record. But I have a hard time seeing the Raptors with three, and so that's going to be some tough decision for the coaches.
Jeff, quickly before we get you out of here, do you have someone who would be your All-Star wish list? Someone who you know you're not going to get the nod. There's just too many superstars in the league, but if they were to get the call, you'd be happy to see them in that position?
So I just mentioned having some sentimental feelings for the All-Star game. Would I be totally upset if the coaches somehow gave a nod to Dwayne Wade?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
But I don't have a problem in an All-Star game. I do understand that it would be someone deserving or who's having a really good year would get left off because of that. And so for that, you know, I maybe want to take a practical approach. But I won't have a problem if coaches felt that way. I don't think they're going to go that way, though. I think they're going to, you know, try to keep it to who is an All-Star this year. But Dwayne would be the guy.
Dwayne, yeah, and we're going to get another OG throwback. We have Dirk in the three-point competition again, so I'm hoping that he takes that one down, actually.
No, that would be – and look, I think that's a perfect way. Now, Dwayne's been to so many All-Star games, I'm not sure that, like, he wants to go and compete in the skills competition. But see Dirk in the three-point contest one last time is going to be fun, too.